Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's a Monday. Miller and Condon are with you for the next couple of hours. For those of you who have the day off, we trust you're enjoying it. If you're listening to us, we appreciate that. Whether you're at work or you're at home, whether you're off or slaving away at your whatever it is that you do to put that roof over your head, thanks for coming in. Busy show here today. Rob Doster going to talk basketball, college basketball on a national scale with Rob. Normally, he's in the second hour of the program, but we've switched things up today. He's going to join us at about 10:30. We'll go around college basketball, but we will get this National Voices perspective on at least two of the local teams. Trent, there might come a time when maybe a couple of the other local teams are working their way into the conversation with Rob Doster. Those Bulldogs. Unbelievable.
Do it again. Do it again. Now, they almost melted down at the end. I don't know if you...
I did not.
Yeah, they. I was listening to Ad Meyer finish up the call as I was making my way here in the studio to get ready for Saturday Night Wrestling, and it was a little dicey there at the end. They were controlling the basketball game. Valpo started hitting some shots late, but another victory for the Bulldogs. Your first place, Drake Bulldogs.
Indeed. UNI finds themselves right in the mix as well. They are, I guess, essentially, technically tied for fourth, but there's a whole bunch of teams that they're tied for fourth with. And sadly, Trent, one of those teams is going to find themselves playing on Thursday night, which maybe is or isn't fair, but that's the boat that they're in. We'll talk about Iowa. We'll talk about Iowa State. Dylan Monce is going to join us at 11:15. Scott Dockerman at the bottom of the second hour of the program as we will take a look back at... Well, certainly the improbable finish. It was a pretty good basketball game, really physical basketball game. And the Iowa State game, boy, oh boy, they never gave the Wildcats a chance.
No.
You know, here's what where I want to start is I want to turn the clock back in a lot of ways. In this way, only a year to remember what it was like last February doing this?
It was terrible. Yeah, I mean, we have Rob Doster on today, and we will talk about Iowa and Iowa State with Rob. That wasn't last year.
Trent, we didn't talk about, well, we did, but, I mean, I adopted Nebraska.
right. And they didn't even make the big dance.
And they didn't make the big dance. It was as long of a basketball season in our state last year as we've had in a long, long time. Not one of the four had a pulse.
And we normally have that.
You get one.
Yes, even in the years where Iowa and Iowa State, say the last...
2007, 2008, yes, we had Drake.
The last 15 years that I've been doing this, there's somebody.
Right.
There's something to talk about. Okay, Iowa State's down, but Iowa's up, or vice versa.
Right.
Or UNI's really good, and not just good enough to win the MVC, but maybe beat a team like Kansas. We have those storylines. Last year, they were all bad.
Yeah, you know, I passed on a chance to go to that game. Peralt was working with
really?
Me.
Really?
Joel was wanted to send both of us, and he's, I don't want to go to Oklahoma.
Are they playing in Ankeny?
Yeah, no, it's true. Peralt went down there, so Matt saw the UNI-Kansas game. And I don't know which one we should start with. I guess we should do it as the way the games unfolded. One of them was at 3, one of them was at 5. I'm not putting the importance or the finish one over the other. Both of these schools, all of our schools, need to keep winning these games and, you know, ticking them off the schedule as we march forward to tournament time and into Selection Sunday. And clearly two of the teams are going to be in it. It's sad. You know, I wish that, do these non-Power 5 schools, maybe there isn't a one-size-fits-all when it comes to conferences. It's so much more difficult to win the regular season than to get hot on a weekend.
Right.
Yet if you get hot on a weekend, you're the one that gets the, you know, the reward with the automatic bid. I've always wondered if they're doing it right in that perspective. I'm not sure they are.
I like what the WCC, what Gonzaga plays in, the West Coast Conference, what they've done in the past where the top two seeds get buys into the semifinals. So it takes away, the grind that you have to get to. Even if you're playing three games in 3 days can be tough.
Sure.
And teams are built different ways. Get them that bye, you got to win two. And I think that is maybe a more fair representation, you know, of teams and what you got to do at that power level. But the other kind of component you get into is, like a year this year in the MVC, there's a bunch of teams all mixed together. And when there's a 3-4-way tie for first place, you want to get two of those teams.
In St. Louis.
In the credit of the double bye, you kind of fall into that trap too. But I think that is maybe the best way that I've seen, because that's what you want.
Yep.
You don't want the 5 seed getting hot and taking your bid. and then get pummeled in the first round of the tournament. You want to put your best team out there because of the money that's involved. I mean, you saw the financials last year in that run, what it did for the NBC.
Remarkable.
It's millions upon millions of dollars for each victory.
Paid out over the next, I think it's 5 years, is it not?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's shared amongst everybody in the conference equally. So I wonder if Drake fans remember how to get to St. Louis.
Honestly,
I mean, they're I would think that they would be going in mass this year. They've got a legitimate chance. Look, they're going to be playing on Friday. That'll be their first game. I don't know what seed they're going to get. It's either going to be, if they win, they'll play at noon. If they lose, or if they're second, they'll play, what, 3 or 2:30?
2:30? The 4-5 game's at 2:30. 6 o'clock for the 2 seed.
Okay.
3-6 is the nightcap.
And that's at about 8:30 if everything is on time. It's a great tournament. I loved going down there. I've covered it, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. Love the St. Louis aspect. It really is, to me anyways, the official start of March Madness. It is.
And last year, the Big Ten screwed it up.
By moving, you're right.
Madison Square Garden had to go a week early because the Big East holds precedent there, they will. And good for them. That even with the departure of the Big East as we knew it, keeping the Catholic schools together, and I still like the Big East.
Oh, I love the Big East tournament, Trent. Absolutely do. It ends on Saturday night, which is great. The Big 12, they end on Saturday night, too, which is...
Early evening,
early,
right?
Yes.
5 o'clock, something like that.
5 o'clock tip. So, looking forward to the Big 10 tournament. As we sit here today, I'm scheduled to be in Chicago, and I love the city of Chicago. So, looking forward to going down
there. Hopefully get a little better weather.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. We're supposed to get clobbered again tomorrow night into Wednesday.
Oh, man.
Like maybe as bad as what we just got, for crying out loud. This Winnipeg weather. This really is.
I was remarking, we were going to Costco yesterday to pick up some supplies. The drifts there around Jordan Creek, how they had it piled up. I've lived here now 11 years. I've never seen anything like this.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I cringe when I have to write the Homeowners Association dues.
Yes.
You know, a couple of hundred a month. And then the last couple of years, there was no snow.
Oh, boy. That check's a little more difficult to write. I could have done that.
Yeah. Oh, man, this year, it's so great to have them just... Anyways.
Yeah.
So let's go to Iowa State and K-State. Dean Wade gets hurt in a basketball game. I don't think it would have made a difference. Iowa State never gave him a chance. I didn't think, Trent.
No.
They just opened up on this team. You know, Horton Tucker was incredible in the first half. Wigginton then takes over that basketball game. Cam Lard got teed up at the end, and he was, you know, you could see it coming almost. I think it was kind of like a body of work that he was teed up with that one for, because he's gotten away with maybe a couple this year. Look, he's an emotional kid.
Yes.
Do you try and
curtail
change
that at all?
I don't think you do either. That's the way. And even when he's not on the floor, when one of his teammates makes a big shot, he's doing exactly that on the bench. He's up and he's almost like one of the guys on the end of the bench. That's their job. That's not Cam Lard's job, but yet there he is, willing to do that and to extol his teammates and love his game. Halliburton struggling to shoot basketball a little bit, but look, he's still playing a pile of minutes. Weiler Babb. This was, look, and I said it. I thought K-State was the best team in the conference, and Iowa State going on the road into Manhattan in a must-win spot for them and for the conference, really, as they carried the hopes of, well, not 9 other teams, but certainly Kansas and Texas Tech on their shoulders, and mission accomplished. What a win for the Cyclones, and now Dean Wade is out, and they've got a gimme tonight, I think, don't they? Is it West Virginia?
Virginia, they got Oklahoma State. Those are their next two before a week from now.
Ooh.
And a big Monday showdown at Kansas.
So Wade won't play tonight, and I wouldn't think that he would play on Saturday, because apparently he didn't practice all week in leading up to the Iowa State game. It's the same foot. It was a tendon in his foot that prevented him from, you know, participating until the Iowa State game at Hilton earlier this year.
Be careful tonight.
You think so? You think a letdown? Without your guy?
Without Wade, it's West Virginia, it's on the road, it's that long road trip.
I mean, it is.
It's a quick turnaround.
They left yesterday after getting beat on Saturday.
Just,
you know, their leader is wounded.
Because on paper, this is an awful matchup.
Like, terrible.
Big 12, Big Monday, sorry. Might have a game. I'm just...
What's the number?
6.5.
Of course you know, right off the bat.
Well, maybe you know where I've been looking a lot. I got a few more numbers to crunch.
Hey, by the way, you must have had a really good weekend, because when we were doing our klaxons on Friday, and we do that every Friday at 11:45, and we're grateful to Andy and company out in Klaxons in Altoona for allowing us to give a $35 and a $25 gift certificate away, and we'll do so again on Friday. If I would have been playing, I would have stunk. You,
I
on
loved
the other
Iowa
hand,
State.
You loved Iowa
loved
State.
Loved Iowa State.
I'm not sure you had a strong Iowa.
I like Rutgers. I like
Rutgers,
and they covered.
Oh, they did cover.
They covered.
It was 1.5.
Well, that's what. Well, we had it at 4.5. The official line, I think, was 2.5.
Okay, it was 2.5.
Is what it went off at. That's a cover.
It's a cover.
1-point game or 2-point game. And Drake, that was one that I missed. They were a big favorite. I think I got a push. It was 5, but it was 5.5 most places. Mm-hmm. And then I loved our other game, our national game that we picked.
Trent.
I love Kentucky. Ooh. And when I told you the number.
I was shocked.
It was 2.5. That
I thought
Kentucky
Tennessee would be favored.
And did you see where it opened Friday?
I did not.
4.5. Wow. Kentucky by 4.5.
So, a lot of Tennessee money came in, apparently.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of disappointed people then, because, Washington was just, he was all world in that game.
Shows you, if you come back, work on your game. P.J. Washington probably would have been a late first-round pick.
Probably,
yeah. He's, all right, let's take a flyer.
Yeah,
because
he was a surprise when he said that he's taking his name out.
And now he's a lottery pick.
Yes, he is.
And he has worked on his game, got better at the points that this is what you need to work on. Coming back's not a bad thing. Tyler Cook, coming back's bad. Lindell Wigginton, talk about him. How about that stretch? Back and forth, back and forth. Iowa State would get up 4. Kansas State would answer with a bucket. And he hit those 2 big threes.
Massive threes.
And it just
took all the air out of the building.
The separation. Yep. And Iowa State controlled it from there on
out.
They did. Coming back can be a good thing. You don't have to jump just because you have the opportunity. There are things to be gained to coming back to college. Sometimes that gets missed, unfortunately, anymore.
Yeah, it is. And look, we benefit when they do. We, as Memphis, I'm putting us all in the fan category of the sport, that we get to see these kids for another year or so. Lindell Wigginton was unbelievable. Horton Tucker was unbelievable in the basketball game. I love Cam Ward, what he was able to do coming off the bench. Lard was, how many do you have? 8?
Something
6?
Like that. Yeah,
but it was other things. It was blocking. It was the defensive end of the floor. You could tell by watching the game. But there was moments of lapses. But you could tell that was an emphasis of this past week. I got to think that Prohm got into these kids pretty good. You know, once they started, because I think when I saw an interview with him, when did the media have an opportunity?
It was early
Tuesday?
Last week.
Monday or Tuesday, whatever
right.
It was.
I think it was Tuesday.
Yeah, and Prohm said, we're going to work on ourselves before they start implementing the K-State game plan. Well, what does that mean? You're going to spend a lot of time on the defensive end of the floor, and I thought that showed. Lard was terrific. Michael Jacobson did his thing, especially early in the basketball game.
Horton Tucker during the first half.
Yeah, couldn't stop him.
No. When he gets going like that, this Iowa State team, this is a team that can make a big run.
Look at the threes he hit. How many did he finish with? Handful?
Threes in the game?
Threes.
He had six.
There you go.
Taylen Horton Tucker's hitting 6 threes. You're the other team. You throw your hands up and say,
probably
not our day.
You're not going to win that one, no doubt about it. And conversely, K-State, Snead gave them nothing. Brown is a good player, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brown is a really good player.
He kept them in the game in the first half.
Yeah.
It felt like Iowa State, they were up 7 at the half. 38-31.
Yes, 38-31.
Felt like they should have been up double digits. And I think we had that conversation another game earlier this year. I can't remember what it is, but it was one of those games without Barry Brown. And this has always been my concern with Kansas State.
Well, they have no depth, Trent. McGurl's the only kid coming off the bench now.
And losing Cartier.
Jara
has been, like you said, they have no depth. And they're so limited offensively. Jara was one of the few guys on that team that can get his own. Barry Brown can. Dean Brown, Wade is more of a facilitator. Mm-hmm. The rest of that team, they're just not guys that can get their own.
Nope. Snead, nope. Not going to do it. Stokes, periodically, I'll maybe put him in that category. All right, let's get to Iowa. I don't know what part of the it's a miracle. I don't know, maybe that word gets thrown out a little bit.
That was as close to a miracle in college basketball as you can find.
Well, Connor McCaffrey, but you know what's getting overlooked? I'm pretty sure this, Bear tips the basketball.
Yes, yeah.
And I know they practice that, apparently, but come on.
Yeah. And there were 2 guys there.
Yes,
it wasn't
a minimum
just
of
camp.
2.
It was also Isaiah Moss was back behind there. So
speaking of Isaiah Moss,
he kept him in the game.
Wow, that first half.
Yes. And it wasn't him shooting the basketball.
No, it was him going, Trent, in with the physical players that Rutgers, and they've got a whole roster full of them. He was fearless.
Would have never seen Isaiah Moss do this. And this is something that I've touched on is the development of his game. A year ago, that guy doesn't show up. Mm. That guy doesn't do those kind of things. If he's not hitting jump shots, if he's not getting jump shots, he checks out. But his game has come such a far, long ways this year. Yep. And there are times that you're kind of looking, well, where's Isaiah Moss? He can still get lost on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. There's still stretches where it doesn't seem like he's completely invested. But he is so much more of a basketball player than he was, which was frankly just a jump shooter. That's all he ever was. His game has come a long way. And without him, Rutgers up themselves double digits maybe at the half.
I think they are. I really do. Boy, Pikel was taking Bohannon out of that game come hell or high water. And Bohannon still got a few of them, but boy, they made it difficult on him. You know, I looked at the box score yesterday, and I thought that there was a mistake. I thought that Kreener, you look at his box score, he was way better than what, if you didn't see the game and you just looked at the box score, he didn't score.
Nope.
He took one shot. Had a few rebounds. I thought that and he didn't play a ton of minutes, but when he was on the floor, Trent, I thought he had a real, because he's a kid that's willing, and he did get his nose dirty. Was it him that got his nose bloodied? Was that? I think it was. And they called it. We thought it was going to be a flagrant one, then it was just a common foul. Well, hang on a second. Here's a guy whose nose is swelling up and is bleeding from the bridge of his nose. Really? Anyways, yeah.
See, that was a fast-forward game for me. So I'm getting set up down at Wells Fargo for Saturday night.
By the way, you've got, and deservedly so, people recognize what you're doing for this station high school-wise, and hats off to you for this.
Thank you. And the state wrestling tournament is year after year, those opening rounds with all the mats, championships Saturday night. It's so well done.
Now, was it packed even with the weather?
It was. It was, and I didn't know the weather until I looked outside. Well, actually, I take that back. There was a shot with, I don't know, a couple weight classes. It's probably in the 9 o'clock hour, and as they were coming back from one of the TV timeouts, they had the TV up on the big screen up above.
Oh, did they?
On the hanging.
Yeah.
And the shot that NBC Sports Chicago came back with was an outside shot with all the snow blowing.
Because it started about 8 o'clock, I think, somewhere around there.
The booze cascading down. And it was great because the kids getting ready to wrestle the next man. They're looking up like, what is going
what did I do
on?
Wrong?
Yeah. Like, did I do something?
What do you got against the guy I'm about to wrestle?
Because maybe the loudest one that we got all night was the booze that came down after that one. But so I had to watch the Rutgers game and fast forward. And, all right, watched the first half, had it on as I was getting set up. I'm like,
did you know the score?
Going to turn off the phone.
Yeah.
I'll put it on silent, just in case I need something. You never know, something could go wrong. All right, I'll keep it just on silent. And I feel 7:10 probably. Is that about what time it ended?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah, it started at 5, so it's been 7:10, 7:15.
My phone starts going crazy. Yeah. Bump, 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 bump. The buzz. I'm like,
hey, you can't stay away from that.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Something happened here. So I go on Twitter quick during the next commercial break and saw it there. So I watched the second half and fast
highly
forward.
Improbable.
Yeah. And
but who
team.
Cares? I mean, I checked the standings at ESPN.com in the Register today. Mm-hmm. Trent, I couldn't find a single asterisk beside the Hawkeyes.
No, they all count, right?
They all count. I don't give a damn if it was a miracle or improbable.
Does this change this Iowa team? Is it something that we're going to look back upon, and this was part of something special?
You know what? I think we can look back on last year, and I think Tyler Cook said it best when their last kind of improbable victory, right? That last year we don't win this basketball game.
Right.
This year they've won this basketball game. Now, three times like this, right? There's this fourth. It's three for sure. But they're winning games that last year they wouldn't have. So you can see progress, I think, right there. Look, Trent, the game tomorrow against Maryland with Wisconsin on the horizon. I know there's Indiana's in between there and Ohio State. But now there's an attainable goal of the double by. It's in play now.
Everybody's coming back to them a little bit.
Correct.
And the schedule sets up.
And they're doing what they need to do. So when teams do come back, you're holding your spot,
absolutely,
waiting for them.
That means winning at Rutgers. That means beating Northwestern, holding serve at home. Those are the things you have to do. You're going to have to beat Maryland. You're going to have to beat Wisconsin. You're going to have to do those things. But down the stretch,
did you see Maryland, Michigan early on Saturday? That was my early game at 11.
Most of the first half is what I watched. And I had to move away for the second half. But yeah, most of that. Maryland, back end of a two-game road trip. I told you before, mm-hmm. the numbers are not very good.
Now, would they have gone home? That's Tuesday, so probably so. Guess, yeah, I would yeah. think probably so.
Probably went to class today, and they'll yeah. hop on the plane this afternoon.
Probably so.
Yep.
Because if it was money, because didn't Iowa State, there was a couple of times that they stayed in this.
But those were for big Monday.
Yeah, usually. It was a Saturday, yeah. Monday that they yep. stayed in Oklahoma or Texas. I don't remember, but yeah, they probably did go home. But nonetheless, you'll get a Maryland team coming off a loss tomorrow. Like, they still got guys. Mm-hmm. They still got guys, but I love the way this Hawkeye team is playing. We're very fortunate, again, to kind of go back to where we started the hour. Yeah, just think back 12 months, folks.
This
was awful.
Teeth. It was Wigginton, is he going to jump? Cook, is he going to jump? Those were our mm-hmm. conversations, but the game-to-game minutia.
Nah, there was no buzz. There was,
it didn't matter.
It was going to be over for the Valley in February, I think. Mm-hmm. Iowa was going to be done in, because they were early, so they were going to be done way earlier.
Their season concluded March 1st. If they would have lost to Illinois, it would have been in February.
That's correct. I remember that talking point.
Yep. First time since 1932, yep. their season would end in February or something.
Excellent
like that.
Memory on you, Trent. I remember having that exact conversation that can they get to the month of March?
Right.
And they did.
We got a couple of shows out of that conversation.
Yeah, probably a couple of segments, yeah. right? But we were fortunate to get it. But look at this year, it's feast or famine. Mm-hmm. We're eating good in 2019.
And it's a bit unfortunate for Drake and the season they're putting together because I mean, Iowa State are so good.
Yeah, but I think that it's getting... Look, here's the thing. And we've said this before. Brian Harden, you're a brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brian Harden hiring Michael Admire, who had never done play-by-play. Mm-hmm. You can get better at play-by-play, and maybe he's good enough to begin with. But that's not. I don't think that's why he got the job. For the social media aspect...
Yes.
Sound off. I mean, Admire's one of the 13 family still, right? He's no right. longer there on a daily basis, but 13 is going to... they make it a lot easier this year because Drake is a story. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to keep up on that. But even when they were just kind of creeping up the standings a little bit, they were getting more publicity, more looks because of the relationship with Admire. Brian Harden made two amazing hires. Now, DeVries is bigger.
Yes.
He's a basketball coach.
He's the one that's making this thing go.
Now, what did Hatfield Club have against him? Because every time that job came open, mm-hmm. he was rumored, because we don't know for sure.
But you would hear that name.
Yes.
You would talk to Drake
people. Maybe the first name.
And it'd be, DeVries wants the job.
Yes.
DeVries wants the job.
Right. And maybe that's why he didn't get it, because he made it known. Because there are athletic directors. You know this. If you go public with your interest in the job, mm-hmm. most times... you're not going to get it for whatever reason.
What's the old adage? Sometimes your first answer is the correct one.
Yeah.
Well, that was the first one. That's where your name should always go mm-hmm. to. And maybe athletic directors as a whole, they want something to be their own. They want to make the choice and the choice to be theirs. Mm. And you hear that a lot of times. Maybe that's what it was for Hatfield Club. I know how to do this, and I'm going to do this my own way. Right. And I'm going to go down to Arizona State. I'm going to bring Mark Phelps.
I don't need help. Keno Davis, yeah, thanks for what you did, but we'll be fine.
Right. Speaking of Mark Phelps, you see he's suspended at Arizona.
He's in deep water.
Yeah.
That program's in deep water. I think Mark Phelps, to begin with, was he's a fall guy in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to wear it for now, but I don't think Miller's going to survive. We'll see. I don't think he can. Now Kansas is getting caught. The victim. Remember the statement that Kansas put out?
Yes.
We're victims in this. Well, remains to be seen. We will talk next with Rob Doster, NBC Sports. He's college basketball talk. You know, his Saturday recap column. I don't know if I was going to say this to him on the air. Maybe I should. I think yeah. I will. He can write.
Yes, he can.
He's really good.
His podcast, I tell you, I listen to that.
I'm not
weekly.
A podcast listener.
I think you would really enjoy it. He does some different things. And last Wednesday was my favorite of the year that he does with Brian Snow from 24/7. Why your team sucks. Mm-hmm. And they talk about all the top teams and mm-hmm. why they're not good. And
what did he say about Tennessee?
Tennessee, it was... can they win? Because for teams like that, it's about winning six in a row, right?
Yeah.
And even four in a row. And mm-hmm. I think they talked about some of the offensive
Kentucky
deficiencies.
Was a matchup nightmare for
yes.
Tennessee.
P.J. Washington, as we talked about.
Oh, my
about.
God.
And how about the play of the Stanford kid, Reed Travis?
Yep.
He was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see that.
You know what,
Trent? Semi-local Minnesota kid, right?
Is he? I didn't realize that.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I did see. I think you are right. He is a Minnesota kid. But, you know, he gives them some age,
yes.
you know, yeah. some wisdom, if you will. All these, well, Washington came back, but there's a whole lot of youngsters on that roster. Boy, they were good on Saturday night. My God. Pretty good weekend of college basketball overall.
It was. You know, early on.
Although, you know what? Go ahead. Sorry.
Until we got to the Iowa State, that kind of second window.
The 1 o'clock window, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. The 11 o'clock was great. Michigan and Maryland.
I was running some errands. I kept looking on the phone. All right, mm-hmm. Do I need to sneak back early?
I don't even remember who I watched in that window.
There was a Big East game that was turned out to be a blowout. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't good, but...
I know we got to the Iowa State game late.
We got Iowa State and we got Rutgers and the Iowa-Rutgers game, so that helped.
And that was right on time because that was FS1, but yeah. The Iowa State game did not get to it. I don't know how much we missed. Till the first media timeout, I think. But anyway. But you know what was weird was yesterday, because I'm not into NASCAR.
No.
Although, you know what? I turned it on about 30 seconds before the wreck.
Oh, really?
That was...
Talk about timing.
Yeah, and then I turned it off right after that because I knew I'd seen what I needed. I have no idea when.
Did you watch... Neither do I. Did you watch any NBA All-Star game?
Not a single second. Not a single dribble.
I watched more than I anticipated.
Did you?
I was mostly on the AAF.
Started there with Wadley.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see the numbers from this week.
That's a good call.
You know? Because I didn't
sense
any...
They're going to be down. Sure. I mean, they weren't on network TV this week.
No.
TNT Saturday night, and...
Last night was the NFL Network for Wadley and company.
Yep.
And that was the only game that I saw all weekend because of college. And then I didn't stay with it very long because I'm into this True Detective, and it was the second last show last night. You know, as good as the first one was, and it'll never be topped. McConaughey and Harrelson were just phenomenal. And then the one in the middle was really bad. This one's really good.
Who's the actors?
You know what? I knew you were going to ask me.
If you know him, though?
No.
Oh.
But the guy that's the lead is in the movie that's really popular right now. It's kind of like a... Oh, I'm so bad at this. Remember Driving Miss Daisy?
I do, yeah.
There's kind of... And I haven't seen the movie, but that's kind of what I take. My take. What's the guy's name? I don't know. I don't know his name. Don't know his name. If he played
here.
A position, I could help you.
Right, right. We're better at that. This is not our strength here.
Right. I'm pretty shallow. I'm sports, and that's it. Are you finding it?
Starring Mahershala Ali.
That's it.
Carmen
and he's in
Machado.
A movie. Find the movie he's in. It's a really big name movie that I think is going to win some Academy Awards.
All right.
At least I think that's the guy.
Rolling recent. Spider-Man?
No.
Green Book?
Yes.
Green Book.
Isn't that nominated for some? You don't know either.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Right.
Hey, let's get back to our strength. What do you say?
And that's Rob Doster on college basketball. He's next. Miller and Condon till noon. Glad you're with us. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Polar Plunge.
Keep up with KXNO on Twitter and Facebook. Go to KXNO.com to learn more. From 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back. All the local shows with you today. The Rush got things going. We take you until noon. Murph and Andy today, as always, 2 to 4, and then the Fanatics for afternoon drive. Let's get Rob Doster in here, NBC Sports. Rob, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on, Rob Doster. How are you?
I am doing great. What's going on, gentlemen?
Well, you know what?
It was a good weekend in your state for college hoops.
Boy, also. Yeah, then especially going back to last year, Rob, where it was just dismal. You know, I got to give you credit, my friend. You're a hell of a writer. You know, the more I read of Rob Doster at NBC Sports College Basketball Talk, I knew you knew your stuff, and you were great on the radio. But boy, oh boy, you can really tap that keyboard. You're very good at what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, if you want to... sent to my boss with an email that's headlined, Bob deserves a raise, I will not complain.
Indeed. You know, your Saturday piece, I love it, the Saturday things to know, and you kind of go around, and because it's hard to keep up with everything, right? It's difficult. There's just so many things going on. Barrett was terrific. I want to start with the locals normally, and we'll get to national. That's one of the reasons we love having you on is, you know, there's more than the Big Ten and the Big 12, and, you know, we forget that, and we bring you on to talk national college basketball. We'll get to Tennessee and Kentucky. But I want to start in the Big 12, and Deed Wade gets down, gets hurt. Iowa State goes on the road, never gave, I didn't think, K-State a chance in that basketball game. It was more than the Wade injury that allowed Iowa State to do what they did. All of a sudden, this Big 12 race, it's wide open. I know you won't go anywhere other than Kansas, but this really is, Rob, going to be a hell of a race.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I think there are probably three games left in the regular season that are really going to end up deciding who wins this conference. It is Kansas has to play at Texas Tech, right? Texas
yep, Saturday.
Has to play at Iowa.
No, is it Saturday or Monday? When's Kansas Texas
that's
Tech?
Next Saturday.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Kansas gets a week to prepare for it.
Yep.
They get Texas Tech on the road. Texas Tech has to play at Iowa State in the last game of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kansas State still has to play at Kansas. And I think those are going to be the three games that kind of decides it all. And if I'm a betting man with Kansas State, you know, Dean Wade kind of banged up. I don't know how serious that foot injury is. Bruce Weber didn't sound too worried about it after the game. He said it was just kind of like a soreness thing. But, you know, for a guy that's missed significant time each of the last few seasons, with a foot injury, I would not feel too confident if I was a Kansas State fan. So with that injury, combined with the fact that they still have to play at Kansas, you know, I'm kind of looking at this and thinking that this is probably going to be the year where Kansas gets it done again. You know, we say it every season, right? You just got to wait for things to break the right way for Kansas. And, you know, if anybody was smart and sharp as a bettor, they probably would have said, like, hey, you know what, Iowa State's playing at Kansas State. This is the kind of thing where Kansas is going to find a way to work their magic and get a Kansas State loss. So some of us were profitable with that decision on Saturday. The one thing I will say is this, though, and you guys need to tell me if I'm crazy here. I think Texas Tech has the second best chance to get it done.
I do, too.
For two reasons.
I totally agree.
One, nobody is playing better than them in that conference right now. Right, they've won their last four games by an average of 24 points. And yes, they haven't really played anyone too difficult during that stretch. But the bigger thing is that they are shooting in their last three games 44.7% from three while taking more than 25 threes per game. So this isn't just a small sample. They've hit 34 threes in their last three games. And if they are going to shoot like that, they are a very, very different team because we know they are the best defensive team in college basketball, flat out. Bar none, point blank, the best defensive team in college basketball. And if they are all of a sudden the kind of team, I don't think they're going to shoot 44% the rest of the year because that might be like the best that anybody shot ever in the history of KenPom's database. But I do think that they can be like a 40% three-point shooting team. And if they're a 40% three-point shooting team, then they got a real shot at this because they get Kansas at home, which is a game that they can win at home, and they play at Kansas State. And those are two of the four teams that are currently chasing that title. And then you throw in the fact that their other three games are, who do they get?
Okie State, TCU, and Texas.
Yep. Those are all winnable games. And Kansas State is going to be playing potentially without Dean Wade.
Yep.
And they still have to go to Kansas to play, which is a game mm-hmm. that, like, look, I'm just going to put it out there. They ain't winning that. Texas Tech looks like the sneaky bet to mm-hmm. kind of win that Big 12 title. And, look, I will go to my grave saying this, man. They would have won that league last year if Keenan Evans did not break the tuck. And we might end up being in a situation where Kansas wins it again this year, and we say we're going to our grave saying Dean Wade would have won it if he did not hurt his foot.
Kansas, Devin Dotson, he has figured it out. That's a freshman that
and
is
the difference maker, Trent.
He's broken through in a big way, and it's Kansas. And Bill Self, he seems to always push the right buttons. But with that, a step further, past the regular season and what happens in Kansas City, which team has the most upside come NCAA tournament time?
Look, if Texas Tech is going to shoot the way they shot recently, then I think that they are right there. I also think that Iowa State is just the way that they can match up with people. And I mean, we've talked about this before, but they have that same kind of style of play that teams like Villanova did last season, where they just create mismatches all over the floor. And the thing that's so promising about it is I thought Talen Horton-Tucker, what he can do on the defensive end, since he is, I mean, he's only 6'4", and he's like 240 pounds, but he's got, a 7'2" wingspan. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to really back him down because, like, he's one of these guys that is just the weight that he has.
He's immovable.
Yeah, you're not going to move him on the block unless, you know, he can match up with someone like a Grant Williams at the four. Right, he could probably match up with someone like a P.J. Washington. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to win that matchup, but it's not going to be he's not going to make it easy on you. So I think that is something that plays well into their hands. Then they have guys that can really shoot it at four different positions on the perimeter. If all four of the guys are able to create off the bounce, all four of those guys are able to work the ball screen, all four of those guys are switchable defensively. So you just become a very, very difficult team to match up with. And you know, when they get it going, they can do things like going to Kansas State and win by 14. They can do things like beat Kansas by 17 points. The problem is they can also do things like get their tail kicked at home by TCU. So my concern with them is that they haven't quite been as consistent as you want to see a team be. Because if you have to win four straight games to get to the Final Four against good teams, you don't want to be one of those teams that plays two good games and then, you know, has a stinker, because that's the kind of thing that will get you knocked out in the first weekend of the tournament. So I think they probably have the highest ceiling. I just don't know how much I can actually trust them at this point. Does that make sense?
I buy it. I can go that route. Absolutely. Let's go across the state then. Let's go to Iowa. Back-to-back improbable victories. Down 15 with 4.5 to go against Northwestern. Then the bank shot from the corner. Rob, you're a good baller back in the day. You never could hit that shot, could you?
Look, if you can plan to make a bank from the corner three like that, then you might as well just go to the NBA now, because you are a better shooter than Steph Curry is.
Wieskamp's awesome. And Rob, I know you like KenPom. I was looking. So Ken Pomeroy, when you click on each player individually, they give you comps, players that they're similar to, similar stages in their career. How about this comp for Joe Wieskamp? Dante DiVincenzo for Villanova his freshman year. Tyler Hawes at BYU, who was really good. Chase Budinger at Arizona. Luke Kennard. Pretty good company there for Joe Wieskamp.
Yeah, not bad. You know, he's really, really shot the ball well. And I don't know how many people necessarily knew who he was coming into college. So here is where I am on Iowa. Yes, these kind of last-second wins have been a lot of fun, and they've been really impressive. And, you know, you've got to credit Jordan Bohannon for having the, the intestinal fortitude to be able to make the shots that he's made in recent games. But on the other hand, you know, how good is Iowa if they are down by 15 points at home with 4 minutes left against a Northwestern team that isn't really all that good? I know Rutgers has been better this year, but if you are a top, like, 15 to 20 kind of team in college basketball, should you be losing on the road to Rutgers? I don't know. Probably not. So I do think that this is a really good team. I do think that they have proven that they can make big shots down the stretch. And, like, when it comes down to it, you know, I know that there's a little bit of a debate over whether or not, like, being clutch in sports actually exists. I am a believer in it. I am a believer in being able to have kind of like the mental strength to be able to handle executing and making a shot in a crunch time moment. And I think that Iowa has proven without a doubt that they do have guys that are able to handle those moments and make those shots. And I think that that's going to be big in March. But I also don't know if I'm at the point where I think Iowa is good and they've just made a couple of big shots and maybe that's going to end up regressing to the mean eventually, or if this is just a team that is like a team of destiny kind of a thing. So I'm kind of on, I'm a little bit still wait and see with Iowa more than I am with Iowa State and maybe some other teams in the Big Ten. But I'll tell you what, man, getting those wins and making those shots will make a difference in where they end up getting seeded in the NCAA tournament. And if you end up being, I don't know, like a 5 seed versus a 7 seed, and all of a sudden you don't have to play one of the top 2 seeds until you get to the second weekend, and that is the kind of thing that can change what your fortunes are in the NCAA tournament and whether or not you're a Sweet 16 team or a team that doesn't make it past the first weekend.
I do want to get to Tennessee and Kentucky, so we'll try and save some time to do that. But I got to ask you about the Big Ten overall. Injuries are starting to mount up for Sparty. Michigan had a real impressive win over Maryland. Maryland's at Carver tomorrow night to take on the Hawks. Wisconsin is still very much in the hunt. So, can Michigan State overcome these injuries, or is it looking now that Michigan's path, and we're going to see this game twice here in the next couple of weeks, Michigan's path is a whole lot easier, Rob, or is that unfair?
It's a whole lot easier. It really is simple. You know, Michigan State was already a team that was playing at a little bit of a talent deficit compared to some other teams that were in that national title conversation. Now they lost their best perimeter scorer in Josh Langford and their best low post scorer in Nick Ward. You know, any team in the country, it doesn't matter who you are, any team in the country, you lose 2 of your 3 best players and 2 of your top 3 scorers, you are not going to be anywhere near as good as you were when you had a full roster. It's just as simple as that.
Rob Doster, let's go to the game of the weekend, Kentucky-Tennessee. And we were talking about your podcast last week, Why Your Team Sucks. That's kind of what you said about Tennessee, why they sucks. Game like that, they couldn't match up physically with Kentucky.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, Grant Williams is one of these guys that kind of thrives on the fact that he is going to be stronger, he is going to have more leverage, mm-hmm. he is going to have a better, he's shorter than most guys with long arms, like kind of like a Talon Horton Tucker thing. He's going to be able to move you because he has a lower center of gravity. He really understands how to work angles as much as anybody in the country. And he ran into a guy in Reed Travis that is bigger than him, mm-hmm. stronger than him, taller than him, better at using leverage than him, understands angles just as well as he does. So that kind of took Grant Williams out of what he wanted to do. And the problem is with Tennessee is they are a team that basically runs stuff through the paint and through the post. You know, they don't really have all that many three-point shooters. They are, they lead the nation. Or they are one of the highest teams in the nation when it comes to their assist rate. But they're also only 20 teams in college basketball that get a higher percentage of their points off of two-pointers and only 21 teams in the country that get a lower percentage of their points off of three-pointers in Tennessee. Everything they do is through the paint, through the drives, through scoring on the low block, through Grant Williams, through Admiral Schofield finding mismatches in the post. And what happened against Tennessee is twofold. One, Grant Williams was taken away by Reed Travis. Two, Kentucky, playing at home, had a point to prove after losing to LSU, realizing that this was the chance that they were going to have to stay in the SEC regular season title race. And three, Kyle Alexander fell out. And without Kyle Alexander, it meant that Tennessee had to play 22 minutes with Grant Williams at the five, who's 6'6", and Admiral Schofield at the four, who's 6'5". And Kentucky, right now, I don't know if there is a team in the country that has a front line that is playing better than Kentucky's front line as of this very moment. P.J. Washington has been, I think you can make the argument, been the best player in college basketball for the last month. Reed Travis is really coming around. So Tennessee just ran into a situation where they had a bad matchup against a team that was not happy about the way that their last game ended, playing at home against the number one team in the country with a chance to keep their name in their conference title race, and it just showed. I don't think that this says as much about Tennessee in terms of what their ceiling is as a team as it does saying, like, okay, this is what Kentucky can be, and this was a really, really bad matchup and a really, really bad spot for Tennessee to be in.
Hmm. Will you be surprised on Selection Sunday if Tennessee is still a one?
I will not, and that's because they still play LSU and Kentucky. So they have the chances to go get the elite wins that they need to get.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Rob, great stuff. Appreciate it as always. Rob Doster, NBC Sports. We will talk to you next Monday. College basketball talk. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
And all of you listeners out there, if you want to send an email to my boss saying that I'm great, I'm sure that he will appreciate it as well.
We will do that, Rob. You're very talented. Thanks for what you do for us, Rob. We'll talk to you in a week's time.
Thanks, guys. Good catching up.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Rob Doster, NBC Sports, college basketball talk. Did you see the end of the Texas Tech Baylor game where the walk-on
with the alley-oop?
Yes. And Chris Beard was apoplectic.
Mm-hmm.
Went out and grabbed the ooper and took him over to Scott Drew as they're going through the handshake line.
Right.
Beard paused, waited for his guy, I don't remember which one it was, to walk past them toward the back of the handshake line to take his place, stopped him and made him apologize to Scott Drew. It's kind of been 50-50, the response, the reaction to that. I think what Chris Beard did was the absolute right thing to do, but I'm old.
The other side of it is we've seen coaches at the end of blowouts tell their kids to keep playing.
Baylor was still playing defense, Trent, so that's good. I'm glad you because I should have put that out there. Baylor was still trying to stop them.
Because with the new net component, offensive efficiency is a component. Will Wade of LSU, he has said his teams, we're up 10 or we're up 9?
Make it 10.
Make it 10, uh-huh. Because that counts in the efficiency. And is it minuscule? Yes, it is, mm-hmm. But every little bit counts, and maybe mm-hmm. it costs you a seed line. Why not?
Yeah, fair point.
Play the full 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not surprised because Beard is that kind of guy. That wasn't the surprising angle about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. I don't got a big problem with it, no.
Yeah, it's not that I have a problem with it. I thought that Chris Beard did the right thing.
Making sure
Baylor
it didn't
was playing defense. I mean, we go back to the Cy-Hawk game, right?
Yes.
The end
yes,
of the Cy-Hawk game. Iowa State was playing defense.
You're going to play D? We'll
play
O. Play
D, we're going to play O. And Bohanna goes down the lane and scores. Yeah, interesting. We'll take time out, come back, finish the hour. A lot of Iowa State and Iowa conversation still to come. We've got Dylan Montz, Ames Tribune. He's with us in about 20 minutes or so. And then Scott Dockham in the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. Of course, Doc with The Athletic. Both of the schools kind of tricky tomorrow night. Have you seen the slate tomorrow? 7 mm-hmm. o'clock for the Hawks, 8 o'clock. Although I'm not sure who precedes. Iowa will start on time.
7 o'clock.
Iowa State probably, I mean, I hope they're a few minutes late. Mm-hmm. Make a little bit of,
push
separation.
That tip time to 8:10
would
8:11.
Fine by me. We'll take a timeout. Two big, big games here with our two in-state teams tomorrow night. We will take a timeout, come back and finish up the hour. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.